Welcome back to Hot Marriage. I almost said Married at First Sight. Welcome back to Hot Marriage Cool Parents.
Welcome back to Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
We are
going to get a chance to talk about Married at First Sight because part two of the reunion had aired. And I have a lot of thoughts that are kind of different from my last one. But I'm also curious to get Jamie's thoughts because she hasn't commented much on Married at First Sight. But
I have on Instagram.
Oh, I know.
Not on our podcast.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah. I've been so darn sick. I literally just threw up yesterday and I'm 15 weeks pregnant. I'm like, when does that second trimester, you know, everyone talks about the relief you get and the second boost of energy. And I'm like, I'm waiting for it. I'm ready for it.
Well, I don't know if this will help, but we do have a 5-star review from Spicy Grandma.
All right, Spicy Grandma, let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, her reviews have been read before. So Doug and Jamie, I think you know how excited I am about the twins because I have congratulated you everywhere. I am like Jamie and would want identical twin girls. I'm praying that you have identical twin girls. This was a little bit ago, I guess. I can't help feeling it is a boy and girl, though. Regardless, I pray every day for two healthy babies. As for Married at First Sight, I think Michael and Chloe might say yes, but I believe none of them will stay together. Also, praying that Jamie starts to feel better.
First of all, that's from March, so that makes sense. And I'm like, gosh, I was pregnant in March.
Yeah.
That is just, I feel like I've been pregnant forever.
You're in the second trimester. And
I know.
Based on what I know about math and pregnancy, there's only one more mester after this.
Trimester, yeah. There's only, tri means three. So.
Well, what would you call one then? One mester?
Yeah, I guess just mester.
Oh. You have two more trimesters
total,
left?
Total side note, but Spicy Grandma was right onto something, not so much the gender of my babies, but with just thinking that none of them will stay together. She knew that way back in March. That's just wild.
I know. Well, we do have some updates, and we do have an update on the genders.
Oh, yes. So
both
big, surprising, exciting thing is that both our babies are, drumroll, boys.
We got two boys.
We have two boys inside me. Doug, you were so funny when we first found out. He goes, you have 20 fingers, 20 toes, and two penises inside you. I was like, that's one way to put it.
I mean, you know, I don't even know what to say about, you know, once we start to have sex again, a lot of penises inside you.
Yeah, can we not talk about that or think about that?
I think one day during this pregnancy, we'll probably make love again.
It's so funny.
But I understand. I understand now.
When you're trying to conceive and you're, you know, really going at it, and then the minute you get pregnant and you feel sick as a dog,
and that's
you're
the
like,
double,
your breasts are sore, you're like, stay away.
That's the double-edged sword about trying to get pregnant, is you do it like jackrabbits, you get pregnant, and then you do it never.
That's so true. He like will crawl up into bed behind me and he'll like start caressing me like on my chest and stuff. And I'm like, ow, stop. Don't touch me. Like that hurts. It's like no sexiness whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I still think you're sexy. So,
well, thank you. I'll take it.
So we for the second gender reveal, and for anybody that missed the first one, actually both gender reveals are on our YouTube channel, Hanging with the Hainers. And little side note too, Jamie and I received a YouTube plaque in the mail.
This is amazing.
We cannot thank all of you enough for supporting our family, being with us. A lot of you have been with us since day one, since the day we met. And I think that is really what drives us to share our lives with you, because a lot of you have been here since we first met, we first kissed, our first babies. I mean, you have been with us ever since the beginning of our relationship.
And then those of you who've joined us, you know, a little bit after or discovered us after, and you're still just so loving and supportive.
It's amazing.
And excited for us and sending prayers and encouragement. And honestly, we wouldn't have that plaque if it wasn't for you. So we wanted to give you the biggest thank you and the biggest shout out and all of your comments and your love.
Yes.
It does not go unnoticed, and we appreciate you so very much.
Yeah, and the plaque is for surpassing 100,000 subscribers, which is really, I mean, we don't have a team.
Yeah, we don't have a
people.
YouTube team. You're looking at it right here.
We're trying to find a team.
Yeah, we're putting it out everywhere that if you're good at like SEO on YouTube and like editing videos and stuff like that, and you're looking to join a team that's made up of two right now. Yeah. We'd love to hire you.
Yeah.
send us anyone you know.
Anybody. But, so that, we're super excited for that. But the first gender reveal, we had a big party. And anybody that hasn't been following, Jamie took a sneak peek test, which is an early gender reveal test where the male gene is dominant. So when the results come back, if it's a male, the babies could be male or male female. But if it comes back female, that recognizes that there's no male in there. So it means that there's two girls. So we got the male back. So
yeah. And that was quite shocking for me because I kind of really thought it was going to be two girls. I don't know why. I just envisioned being a girl mom, not a boy mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like kind of scared to be a boy mom because I just am such a girly girl. And I only had one brother and there was no dad in my life. Like men haven't really been around in my life. So now all of a sudden I'm going to have.
You're going to be surrounded by them.
I know. I'm like, oh, Henley, honey, please like join me and like, let's go hide. Cause I don't know what to do.
Well, someone said it best. There can only be one queen and one princess in the house.
That's so sweet.
So,
but I'd be okay with two princesses. There could be more than one queen. Like let's women support women. Let's all join together. But no, I'm very, very, very excited and blessed and thankful.
You can't help but be super excited. I mean, I really wanted a girl. I did.
I know you did.
I love being a girl dad. Yeah. I have so many amazing memories with Henley and probably because she's the first.
Yeah.
But I just liked being a girl dad.
But honestly,
I still love being a girl dad.
I love being a boy mom too. Like, no one loves you more than little boys. And actually someone sent me a message on Instagram and she said, it was God doesn't send you what you want. God sends you what you need. And I was like, that is pretty profound and then it just kind of went on to say like she knew obviously my background, like not having a dad and never knowing my dad. And then the men in my life, like my mom dated, would always beat the snot out of her and go to jail and drugs and all that jazz. And so I just have never had a positive male energy in my life. Like even past boyfriends have been just jealous and abusive and not so much. I wouldn't let anyone hit me, but like emotionally and mentally. And not all of them. I had one past boyfriend that wasn't, which showed me. And I feel like that was the best thing that ever. Otherwise I feel like you would have divorced me if I hadn't like healed from all that trauma a little bit. Cause you would have been like, she's crazy. But anyways,
there is a crazy threshold that everybody has.
Yeah, no, I was, before I learned how to be in a healthy relationship, I really would like pick fights because people who are used to like negative energy and fighting and like just drama, that is their comfort zone. Like if you're used to calmness and peace and you grew up with calmness and peace and love and serenity, that's your comfort zone because that's what you're used to.
That's what you remember.
But if you grew up with the cops being called and your stepdad being hauled off to jail all the time and like your mom and your stepdad fighting, and that is just kind of what you're used to. And it is kind of a comfort zone. It's scientifically proven. And it took me a long time through therapy and nursing school and just educating myself to realize that and also that last boyfriend that I had, like to be like, that doesn't have to be normal. Like maybe that's your comfort zone and maybe you feel safe oddly in that, but that's not safe. You know that, you can recognize that in your brain and you don't have to live like that. If you really don't like it, you don't have to stay there. And it took a lot of therapy and patience, but
was there a point where it clicked in your head? Was there like a moment where you were just like, or was it kind of gradual?
Yeah.
Where you just sort of just flip a switch and you were just like, wait a minute, like almost like you snap out of a trance.
I can think of a point because like I would always pick fights for no good reason. And like, and I knew that I was picking the fight and it's because it felt uncomfortable to just have too much bliss and happiness. And so then I would pick a fight because I was like, oh, like that didn't feel comfortable or safe. And it felt weird, oddly. Like it felt really weird when like we were like falling in love and there was no problem at all. And I'm like, that it just felt so wrong and weird. And unless you grew up in trauma, like you probably don't get it. And you're like, she just sounds crazy. But those of you who do get it, you're my people and I love you and you don't have to stay like that. So what happened was, after many times of like picking fights and him just being like very calm, never judgmental, not belittling me, very much like you, like, you know, like you, like in the sense that you never you never belittle me or like, you're not judgmental at all. And you're very patient. And he was very much the same. But I remember like, I was like going to slam out the door and like leave because who knows what, like some silly, and I knew it was silly. I just didn't know how to be happy in a relationship. I genuinely had never seen a relationship that was like genuinely loving and healthy. And so I truly, it was like so foreign to me. And he was just like, you know, I was like yelling at him because that's just all I ever knew. And he just never ever yelled or screamed back. And he just said, you know, if that, like, he basically said, like, if that's what you want, that's okay. But like, I'm not going to, he literally said, I'm not going to partake in like the screaming and the yelling. And I was just like, I just like looked at him like he had 10 heads. I'm like, Who are you? Like, what? And that was definitely a turning point for me because I was like, this man isn't going to crack. Like, he's not going to start fighting me back. And every man I've ever known would fight like the woman. Like, that's just what I thought you did in a relationship. And I thought that was health. Like, I didn't know any different. And of course, I was really, really young with him. I was like in my 20s, like early, very early 20s, just before we got married. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, yeah, that was definitely, I'll never forget it. I was standing in his front door and he just was, I was like screaming and ranting and raving over God knows what. And I knew it was not really that important, but I also didn't know how to just be like happy in our relationship and not have to have the drama. And he just like held the door open for me to leave. And I was like, F you, aren't you going to like beg me to stay? But anyways, he was like, he held the door open for me to leave. And he said, you know, I don't want you to go. And I really love you and care about you. I can't remember like verbatim, but essentially the message was, I don't want you to go. I love you and care about you. But you know, if this is what you feel is right, go for it. I won't stop you.
Yeah.
But essentially like, it doesn't have to be like this. And I was like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, huh? And then I was like, stubborn as F. And I was like, well, I'm going, you know?
Well, I remember you telling me about this early on, because there is a memory that I have of we were in your New York City apartment. So this was season one, but it was off camera. And I remember there was, I remember you, cause you told me the same situation where you would just pick fights and you know, that was a foreign concept to not yell and scream. You gave me, or you asked me to give you your phone, and I gave you your phone. And then you accused me of looking through your phone or doing something on your phone. Like I was like sneaking something or doing something. And then, there was like a little like split second, like switch in your brain where you were just like, oh, I'm sorry. Cause I was like, James, I have your password. Like I can get into your phone at any time if I wanted to. And you like switch, you were just like, oh, I'm sorry for that.
You know what? Because that's like half embarrassing, half like sweet to, I guess that you remember and all, but like, that's
but
the
it
thing.
Shows a change, like a mental change though. Like,
and that's the thing that I think, like, first of all,
you probably don't even remember that.
I do remember that at all, but you were probably like, what the heck? Like this girl is a little nutty, but that's the thing.
No, it showed me growth. Like it showed you growth. Like that to me.
But that's the thing that I was going to say though, is that for girls like us or even boys, you know, but like, that's not, but like, it's not like I ever like abused anyone or anything. I just honestly didn't trust them. Obviously that was always my issue, was I never trusted someone. I always thought that they were trying to do like, I don't know, like to use me, hurt me, abuse me. Like I never thought that they really cared and loved about me, like loved me. And so it's not like I was hurting someone. So first and foremost, never, if you're on the receiving end of something like that, never allow someone to continue to treat you like that. And also that's the only way you heal is by, I think, like exactly what my ex-boyfriend did was like, say, okay, I love you. I understand you want to go. I don't want you to go, but if you do, go ahead. And I'm not going to change who I am because I'm not going to follow this behavior. That was really what I needed to heal. But then what I also needed to continue to heal and to grow is to have someone like you, like, who is just like, when that happened, you weren't like, what a freaking nut girl. Like, you know, like you were patient, you were loving, you let it go. You didn't hold it against you. You never ever brought that up to me ever again.
No,
I don't even remember that.
Randomly thought of it just now.
Yeah. And so like, I think that is the key to healing partners and relationships is like, you can heal from this type of trauma by yourself, of course. And if you're trying to be in a relationship, you're not going to just flip a switch and be better overnight. You're going to have those moments where you slip up and then you're like, oh, wait, then you realize that that's just like your past trauma talking. And it's not really like you recognize the trauma behavior anyways. And so thank you for being so patient and loving throughout our whole relationship, because.
Well, I think what's also important though is, you know, you were in a toxic environment, and I think it's so hard for people to get out of a toxic environment when you live in that environment. And I think you had an opportunity to move out and then move away, which I think is scary for a lot of people, that they may think that, well, if I either start all over, or how can I afford this? Or, you know, I think that, you know, it takes a lot of strength and maturity to recognize what's happening, recognize the toxic behavior, recognize that you don't deserve that or need that. But it does take a lot of bravery to start the process of doing something, whether it's moving out, whether it's, you know, going to school somewhere else, asking someone for help. But I do think that removing yourself from that environment is probably key.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. 100%. And then therapy. I mean, I know I preach about it all the time, but it really is so life-changing, because they're really trained. Like, if you have a good therapist, they're trained to help help you recognize those behaviors, so that then you can recognize it, stop it, and change it. And that's what it takes for, like, not to go like nurse on you in scientific mode, but like your neurotransmitters in your brain, it takes you to stop that behavior, change that behavior, so you can change the way that those pathways are wired, so that you're no longer like, now my husband can have my phone 10 times and I'm not like, are you sneaking on my phone? Like, you know, like it takes a lot. It takes a lot of work.
And I, you know, me and I'm speaking as if I'm speaking to women, because I do think it's different for guys and girls. I mean, yes, there's abusive people on both sides, but, you know, I think it's a lot scarier for women, just because, you know, men can be overpowering. They could be more abusive, both verbally and physically. And it just adds a layer of being unsafe to that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't even know how we got on that.
I don't know either, because I'm gonna bring it right back to the second gender reveal, because
you know what, this is how we got on it, just to make it full circle. Is that comment from my girlfriend on Instagram, and she was like, God gives you what you need. And you know, I didn't know that I needed positive male figures, whether my son, like, whether no matter what they are, I didn't know that I needed, but I like sat there and thought about it, and I literally got teary eyed, and I was like, I don't gravitate towards boys or men, or like, I just never have ever, because I just have never had a whole lot of good experiences with them. But it's like, maybe in a way God is healing my heart, because like Hendrix and the relationship that I have with him, and just, I mean, the boy just loves me like no other. And I
think a lot of boys grow up that way.
Loving their mom. Yeah. And you hear about it all the time. And it is not that you should ever have a child to heal your heart, because you really shouldn't, but
children, or it's a great way to make money though, from the government, if you want to have kids.
Dog. That's what my mom would say. She'd say, I had kids so that I could, you know, she would make, my mom used to joke about that, but that's not even funny.
Totally kidding. Yeah.
But no, like if you have a boy, like, I don't know, like, I feel like children can, you shouldn't have them to heal your heart. You should heal your heart first and then have them and enjoy that relationship. But it is very healing and loving and just like eye-opening that it doesn't, like, life doesn't have to be utter turmoil all the time. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be hit or miss or unknown. Like, you know, and to know, like, on the day in and day out that I am trying my darndest to break that cycle, you know, to where our kids don't feel comfortable and normal in the drama, but instead they feel comfortable and normal in serenity and peace, and they can recognize that. So when there is drama and there's toxic energy, they don't feel comfortable in that, because that shouldn't be comfortable. However, that is how I was. So anyways,
I think that's how you break the cycle.
That is how you break the cycle. And it's hard. It's hard work. So for those of you out there, and I know there's so many of you out there who are in the same boat that I am in a different one way or another, sometimes it's different capacities, but you're trying to break the cycle. I see you. and I'm supporting you and I'm cheering for you. It's hard work, but we got this, girl.
Yes. And so the way that we found out the second gender is we set up a pinata at our house. The first one, we had people over. It was a celebration. We did it on the beach. It was amazing. Yeah. We had a whole picnic set up.
I literally threw up before it and felt so sick.
And so this time around, we have a tree.
I wanted to be, it's so funny because, you know, Ruth, she works with us and she was like, you know, Jamie, you know, they might compare these gender reveals, because I was like, the second one, like when we found out it was a boy and we didn't know what the second one was, I was like, I don't have it in me. Like
little scavenger.
Yeah. I was like, I don't have it in me to have
anybody over or anything.
I just have been so sick and so tired. I'm like, I don't have it in me to have another like beautiful. I mean, that party was so beautiful and so well planned out. And it was just so fun, but the energy I have is like next to none. So I was like, I just want it to just be us and in our own little backyard and just something we celebrate. And then sure enough, I wake up that day, not nauseous. I got new medicine from the doctor and I took it immediately, just trying to make sure I stayed like not feeling nauseous.
I'm really happy that's working for you.
Yeah, it did work and it is working. Although yesterday I threw up because I wasn't nauseous, but then I smelled something and within just 1 second. I mean, I wasn't nauseous.
It didn't take much.
I literally text Doug in the morning and I'm like, I feel great today. This is great. And then I smelled something and just, it's over. Game over. Over the toilet you go. But anyways, so we had this nice little tiny gender reveal party in our backyard with a pinata. And if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube live. It's so cute.
We had, we dressed the kids up as bumblebees. We stuck with the bee theme, like what will it be? And we hung a pinata up. And I got to say, I don't remember pinatas being that hard to open.
That was like,
our kids probably took 100 whacks at it. And it's just, there was no chance for them to open it up. I mean, they poked a hole in it and it took, you know, ripping it open, but the genuine shock on all of us, cause we really didn't know.
Except Hendrix.
I don't think either of them really cared.
No. Nah. Well, Henley did.
Right. But
Henley cried that night to me, Doug.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I knew. Her and I are so connected in a way. And I guess that's like, you know, you have that with like a girl too. But anyways, she wanted a girl so bad. She really did. And so after the first boy, and she was crying on the beach and she played it off like the wind was in her eyes. And I wanted to play it off.
No, I'm not crying.
Yeah. Of course she gets a little embarrassed of that. Who doesn't? And she didn't want,
she didn't want people to see.
Yeah. And so we just all played it off like she wasn't crying, but then I knew that she had. And so after the minute I saw her just hyper-focused on the toys from the pinata, I was like, oh, she's sad. And so I tried like talking to her and she brushes it off because,
there was a few people there.
We had Jessica, one of my neighbors was there.
We're taking pictures and video and she's really aware.
She's quite aware and very shy of like, so she just, but then later that night when everyone was gone and everything settled, she cried to me and said she really wanted a girl and she was hoping that the second one was a girl. And I said, mommy really wanted a girl too.
And so did daddy.
This is so funny. This is what I said. So I was putting them down to bed and Hendrix was on the bottom bunk and Henley was like on my lap kind of crying to me. And I said, mommy really wanted a girl too. And, but look at Hendrix. He's your best friend and he's so sweet. And we're going to have two more of them. And she looks at Hendrix and Hendrix literally makes a face with his tongue sticking out. And then she starts crying more like he stuck his tongue out at me. And I was like, okay, that backfired. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is she is going to love those little boys. She has no idea yet. I feel like I'm going to cry because, when you like, I just, you want your children. I know in my heart, she is going to love those little boys and they're going to love their big sister just like Hendrix does.
It's going to be a different sort of reality because, when Hendrix was born, Henley really had zero care to hold him.
She was so young.
Touch him. Now she is so aware and she's starting to tap into her feelings and being able to express her emotions and talk about it. And, we've had our former assistant, now great friend Diana, her new baby had come. And, you know, Hendrix and Henley were both so sweet to that baby. And I think it's going to change when they feel like it's their own and they feel like they have, they're going to take care of or have some responsibility over their baby brothers.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. And, the last part of the gender reveal is finding out whether they're fraternal or identical. Okay, I just want to pause real quick and mention something that I feel is a fantastic gift for Mother's Day, which is the Paired app. Now, for the past 2 years, I've gotten Jamie flowers and gift cards, one for nails, one for a massage. Guess who hasn't used the gift card yet? Yeah, exactly. Well, I've started to realize that gift cards, it's far less personal. It doesn't allow you to connect. It's not really that thoughtful or meaningful, which is why I'm so happy that the Paired app is one of our sponsors for this show. So when you download the Paired app, and again, it's for couples, that special someone in your life, you are able to create your profile and then connect with your partner. Now, once you start to connect, you build a profile, and what it does is you can keep your memories. It offers free daily conversations. It has questions and different couples quizzes to allow you and your partner to be able to connect on a deeper level, be more emotional all throughout the day. Now, along with creating a profile and connecting with your partner, you add some important dates, anniversary, birthday. They have fun little couples games. You can also build out a timeline of important events that happened within your relationship, whether it's an anniversary or first time we went here. You can add photos, and it's a nice way for you and your partner to be able to get closer. But it's also fun. So they have different couples quizzes. The quiz that I actually just took and submitted my answers for was a couples turn-ons, which asks all different who is more likely to be turned on by this. And so I answered all 10 questions, and then it submits a notification to Jamie for her to answer her, and then it compares the answers, which is a really fun way for Jamie and I to not just engage with each other, but also have a conversation on a deeper level instead of just getting her a gift card where she just lets it sit in her pocketbook for 2 years. Now, if you're looking to engage with your partner on a deeper level, have more meaningful, emotional conversations, the Paired app is a perfect way to do that. It's so much fun. It allows you to have deeper conversations, conversation starters, rather than just something like jewelry or shoes that just go out of style. So highly recommend the Paired app, especially for Mother's Day, whether you get it for your partner or you give a little nudge to your spouse to be able to get it for you or to sign up. But you can share the love this Mother's Day by going to PairedApp.com/HMCP. You get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's PAIRED.com/HMCP to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here. Go to paired.com/HMCP. Again, you get a free 7-day trial and 25% off when you sign up for the subscription. Okay, back to it. I feel like we keep having, and the next thing,
and the next thing.
Yeah. The next reveal.
Yeah, that's so wild because I did.
We got the information trickled down to us.
Yeah.
You want to tell them what was in the note that the doctor wrote?
So the doctor wrote, which I think maybe she had her assistant write. I have no idea.
Probably.
But, you know, we said, oh, can you let us know if it's fraternal or identical and what the gender is in an envelope, because we didn't want, you know, we wanted to have this gender reveal and be surprised and have fun with it.
And I think she just took it as, we don't want her to tell us the gender, but to put the gender in an envelope, which
she did. So, So we were expecting that to open the envelope and it was like some official, like, you know, I did the blood work. And so that's how, you know, it's very official. Like there's no second guessing it. It's over 99% accurate. And so we were expecting like the sheet saying twin boys and like fraternal, identical, what, like all the things, and all it is like a blue highlighter that says both boys.
That was faded. It was probably a week old.
It was like older than that. Yeah, I don't know how long.
It just said both boys, and you're just like,
so
this is the note from the doctor.
This doesn't look very official, but Which is honestly, I literally in that same moment, I was like, thanking God, because I just feel like we love surprises. We absolutely love surprises. Mm-hmm. You don't get many positive surprises in life. And not like it could have been two girls, positive surprise, two boys, mm-hmm. positive surprise. It's all just a surprise. And it's so fun. And people say, oh, you have to wait till the birth to find out the gender. And that's like, you know, the best surprise. And I'm sure there is some crazy like amount of feeling and emotion to that. But
that's how it used to be, I guess.
Yeah, but like there's also so much fun surprise in these gender reveal parties, because if you do it where like you are playing a game or hitting a pinata, mm-hmm. or it's just so fun.
It's also sharing, you know, the joy with other people.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I guess maybe it's more fun. I could see how some people think it's more fun when it's just them alone in the hospital. And of course it's fun for the doctors and nurses. I was a labor and delivery nurse. So when they didn't know, and like, if I could try to keep it like, cause of course we have access to their records and stuff, but if I didn't know either, and it was like,
how could they not know? I mean, maybe they just never looked at the ultrasounds.
Yeah. I mean, just like us, that envelope was sitting in our glove box, and
checked up, like as they start growing, you get those final checkouts.
Well,
like
some people don't get as many ultrasounds.
I was going to say I thought you could see it during the
ultrasound. Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, I saw, of course, everything twin is popping up on my feed on Instagram. And I saw a mom who didn't know she had twins, like deliver twins. I'm like, how do you not know you have twins? Yeah. Like that, like, did you never have an ultrasound? Like
you
ever?
You have one giant baby in there?
Yeah, like what?
I'm so curious to see what your belly's going to look like.
I was just complaining earlier, like on Instagram, on my stories.
You're complaining that you don't have a big enough bump yet?
No, not butt, belly.
No, bump, that's what I mean, bump.
Like, I've never wanted to gain weight more in my life. Like, I've lost weight, and I'm very, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful no matter what. I know they're healthy. But I'm like, I mean, it would be nice. I'm in my second trimester. I would like to have a bump. Like, yeah.
Well, now, because you're the expert in birthing and babies.
I don't know about expert, but
I know. Fraternal twins. So whether it's identical or fraternal, is that always passed down? Like, is that in the family?
Okay. So fraternal are like usually run in families, but
that's
identical.
When people say, you know, when I tell people, they're just like, oh, whose side does it run on?
Right.
Twins.
So fraternal runs in families. But identical does not. It can happen to anybody, you know?
Like, really?
Yeah. So, So this is just a fun little surprise that have coming next week.
So that has nothing to do with the fact that twins run in your family.
If identical exactly.
With identical.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So interesting, right?
That is weird.
But I'm so excited.
Wait. So again, just last dumb question. So does that mean two sperm made it
so
to your eggs?
So with fraternal, it is two eggs drop, two sperm fertilize them. And that's like literally like two singleton pregnancies, but simultaneously at once. So they definitely have their own sacs and their own placentas. It's all, you know. And then identical is one egg drops, one sperm fertilizes it, and then it splits.
So that one sperm had a lot of life in it.
So did that one egg. If it's identical.
If it's identical. Yes. Okay. So that, but they don't, so there's two eggs. Do they, cause right now there's two sacs inside of you.
So that's the thing with twins.
So that's what can happen with identical?
You genuinely need a PhD for twins, because there are so many different types of twins. So there could be, if you have...
They call them zygotic or mono or bizygotic.
Mono
or
zygotic or... Yeah. So there's di-di, there's mono-di, there's all sorts of different languages on how you... But essentially what it all means is, do they share a sac? Do they have separate sacs? Do they share a placenta? Do they have separate placentas? And there could be all sorts of different equations for twins in there. And so that's kind of how they get labeled. But I know for us, with our twins, they do not share a sac, and it seems as if they have placentas as well. And so they're calling them di-di twins, which is really like the safest type of twin.
Right.
So I'm just thanking God for that, because, you know, if they shared a sac, there's so many issues that can come from that. But also if they share a placenta, so many issues that can come from that.
So there is still a chance they could be identical twins.
It's very, 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 very small. But
gotcha.
Yes.
Well, because of the two sacs, obviously.
Right. Gotcha. But
Well, now Now we have to pick out names, which we have to start thinking of names.
That and buying things. Like, not going to lie, I didn't buy anything. I bought, like, literally the only thing I bought for these babies so far is a set of Binkies that were on sale at Walmart.
Well, you were looking at nursing pillows yesterday.
Yeah, I started looking at stuff now that, like, I'm like, okay, they're healthy. I know the genders. Like, we're in the second trimester. But the only thing I have bought for these babies as of 15 weeks pregnant is some Binkies because they are on sale and they're our first baby's favorite brand. And so yeah. I was like, oh, those are like dirt cheap. I'll get them because I'm pregnant.
Oh, Henley only loved that one brand.
Mom brand. But same thing with Hendrix. Yeah. He loved that. I think we just automatically gave it, just like I'm going to probably automatically give it to these babies because I'm like, well, I know Henley loved it and she wouldn't take any other pacifier.
So let's talk about really quickly the top girl names that we had picked out.
Well, I liked Haven. I liked Hope.
Haven was my number one.
I love Haven. I love Hope. I love Havana. I love, there are so many.
Haven or Hallie. Hannah. I liked Hannah.
You liked Hannah. I didn't love Hannah. I loved Hallie. I loved Haley. There are so many girl names. I'm like, oh, that would be hard to choose because there's so many great ones. And then there's like Hattie, Hadley. I mean, there's so many good names. And then
Hadley.
We found out that
Hadley,
they're boys.
And Henley. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't do Hadley or Haley probably because of Henley. But anyways.
Yeah, now we got to start thinking of
boys. And I'm like literally starting from nothing because I'm like, I don't know. Like
maybe one Huckleberry and the other one Finn.
That would be so cute.
We should try to do Herbie and then Hancock.
What?
That's a famous person, Herbie Hancock.
Oh,
I think.
My golly geez. No, we're not doing any
That'd
of that.
That'd be fun.
Let's switch over to Married at First Sight because
someone on YouTube made the sweetest suggestion. She commented and said, was talking about, you know, Jonathan having a hand in this and how sweet it would be to give that middle name to one of the babies.
No, yeah, that would be really, really nice.
Yeah. It's, I mean, but it I don't know. It would be. To me, it would be tough to give it to just one.
I know. That is exactly the problem.
You know, one and not the other. But it was a very sweet suggestion, and thank you for replying and commenting with that.
I think also just thanks for remembering our firstborn son, because that was my biggest fear when we lost him, was that his life would have no meaning and didn't matter because he was so little. And I just promised him I would make sure it didn't have meaning and we wouldn't forget him. And so the fact that you remember him, I mean, you have no idea how healing that is for my heart. Thank you for remembering our first baby.
Yes. And we'll end with the Married at First Sight recap because my opinion totally changed from reunion part one to reunion part two.
Yeah.
And, power to the women for finding that sort of sorority and companionship.
With each other.
But I think they came off really, really poor.
It's really sad because I was really,
really poor.
Quite rooting for them until I saw that and I was like, what is going on here?
And here's my take. So it came out that they were manufacturing and their whole relationship. They were deceiving the production. They schemed to put out their own narrative.
But can I just say something right now? What? Like, they schemed and scammed themselves.
100%.
I mean, when you're, why can't you just live authentically, whether there's a camera or not? Like, you went on Married at First Sight because you authentically wanted true love and marriage, right? So then what makes you think if you scam and scheme and plan and try to dictate, how do you think that's going to get you true love and happiness? Like, it just baffles me.
And I have two thoughts on this because one, you know, I think that if there are, you know, some people aren't comfortable putting certain things out there. You know,
don't go on TV. Well, I hate to say it, but I know, it's like,
but if you have a conversation
that
about,
is what you signed up for.
Yeah. If you have a conversation about that with somebody and just be like, you know, listen, there's this one part of my life that that I'm not gonna bring up.
Well,
if you don't bring up, like, that's different.
That could be different.
These couples were scheming together to put, I don't even know what sort of narrative. And I'm so happy that Kevin Frazier laid them all out.
I mean,
laid them all out. Because he was just like, it was Emily that accused Kevin Frazier of not giving Claire enough grace and not full wholeheartedly believing her story. And honestly, I think he said it perfectly. He goes, I'm not giving her grace. All I'm saying is that there's so many sides to these stories, but ultimately all of you disrespected the show. All of you disrespected the process. None of you took it seriously. None of you, and the whole thought and idea of putting out a different narrative, you guys are cheating the show and the audience. And yeah, I was really happy
and
that
themselves.
He said that.
How about that? Like, you're cheating yourself, and you're wondering why you're feeling so, you know, bamboozled and just stressed. You are creating the stressful environment yourself. It didn't have to be this way. Like, look at Chloe and Michael. Look at Michael in particular. Like, his bride left day one, and he wasn't trying to like write a narrative. And then he got a second bride, and things are going however they're going. But they're following the process as best as they know how.
And they were very mature.
I mean, they were like, Chloe in particular stood out like a diamond in the rough.
Yes.
Like, she just stood out. And I, you know, I never like gravitated towards her or against her, but after seeing all of that, I'm like, wow, she knows how to just kind of step away from the drama.
Yeah. And I'm not taking sides at all. I do think though that this season, especially towards the end, was clearly girls versus guys. And I think,
well, it kind of has been.
Well, the point of the reunion, and this is where I'm saying they were all scheming. I mean, the ultimate scheme was at the end of the show, when you say get married or divorce, there's a couple months where you're not allowed to be public about it because the finale hasn't aired. Mm-hmm. The reunion airs. So you start to film the reunion. So all that time, they're looking at social media. They're looking at comments about who looks poor, who's doing this, who's doing that. It just seemed like the girls made a checklist of items saying, you know, this is what's out in the public. This is what's out in the public. This is what's out in the public. And they needed to get all of that out in the reunion. And I just think they missed the point until the end when Kevin Frazier brought it all together, where he was just like, what did you learn from the show? You know, what do you find your strengths are? And everybody had a very positive answer, which, you know, yes, the reunion becomes more interesting and exciting when there's a lot of conflict. I just feel like the girls' intentions was all conflict. And yeah, one thing that really troubled me was, and I was totally on Emily's side.
I know. I was like, so like thinking that Brennan, I just really had a heart for Emily, because I was like, wow, she is being so mature, really standing up for this, like really pulling through.
She was in a different form.
That reunion, it's like, what happened?
Yeah, she just would not let anything go. And it was like, it almost seemed like over dramatic. But the thing that really bothered me is what she said was, Brennan said, he goes, because Kevin was just like, you know, are you in a relationship now? Emily was like, no. And Brennan was just like, yes, I'm actually, you know, really happy. I learned a lot, you know, from the show. And, you know, I'm really in a happy relationship. The first words out of Emily's mouth was, oh, I can't wait to find out who she is to tell her about who you really are and warn her about who you really are and to watch out for all the mistakes that you made. Like that just was just like, oh, Emily, just move on. Just be happy,
yeah,
you know, just move on, grow yourself. And I don't know, it was all a coordinated attack. And, you know, the most disturbing thing that came out was that Cameron just runs away anytime conflict gets too intense for him. And the girls questioned his heart condition. And Cameron had to bring his EKG. His heart stopped 3 times. And he was just like, he goes, listen, he goes, the heart issue that I had, it's not hereditary. It's not genetic. It's not something that I've ever had before. The flutter in my heart, he goes, when it started was the same night that I told everybody that we were getting a divorce. That's when it started. He goes, when I went to the hospital, my heart had to get,
stress
I had to get
does
zapped.
Some crazy things to you.
Yeah. I had to get zapped 3 times. And the girls were saying that was Cameron's way of getting out, of just being away from the show and getting out, because he just didn't want to deal with any conversations, which I never thought was the case.
Honestly, this whole season, Like, it's hard to watch. It's hard to support. Like, I just really hope the next season's in Chicago and I'm just ready for, you know, like, I can't with another season like that, because those individuals really did do such a disservice to themselves and to Married at First Sight in large. Like,
1,000,000%.
Like, it's just unfortunate that it happened like that. Like, it was really sad. Like, it's just, like, unbelievable, really. Yeah. It's like, you know. I mean,
that's, like, real world road rules. And that again, is my issue with getting all the couples together.
Yeah, I see because that. I for sure see that now.
It's a different show. It is a different show that does not focus on marriages. The experts are there trying, but when you start to bring people together, Cameron and Brennan formed a clique. You know, now there's accusations of Brennan, you know, liking the best friend of Claire. You start to build other relationships outside when you got to realize you're a stranger married to a stranger.
You got to focus on each other.
You barely have time to focus on new friendships.
Yeah, like you barely have time to focus on each other, let alone why are you trying to get new friendships? And then you're just comparing and you're jealous and you're insecure. And it's like, wait a minute, like maybe we should pull back the reins a little bit because of them hanging out. I really was in support of it because I thought, you know, what better way to have camaraderie and support and like someone to talk to? Because it's difficult to talk about marrying a stranger to anybody who hasn't, because they have no idea what you're going through. But man, the way this panned out, holy moly.
Well, because here's what happens when you get the couples together like that, you immediately feel a sense of kinship with the other couples because you guys are all going through a process that nobody's gone through. Mm-hmm. So you're of course going to stick together. It's almost like, you know, if you were just enlisting in the army and you go on your training or whatever it is.
Like boot camp.
Yeah. Where you have to rely on each other. You're immediately going to feel close, but it does a disservice to your marriage because your focus doesn't be on your marriage. The focus starts to, and what came out this season shifts to, how do I look on TV? What are the narratives going
to
be?
How do I compare to this couple? How do I compare that to that wife or that husband?
You know, I don't know if the show, I don't know if the process for the show will change or if they'll scale back the amount of times the couples meet. I just am hoping that this Chicago season brings a little bit of life back to Married at First Sight.
Because that was disheartening to watch.
Yeah, that was
tough.
And
it's like, it's so sad because you watch them destroy themselves.
And there's so much animosity at the end. And
which is, you know, so unnecessary.
That's not the point of going on Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
It's not.
And so, oh gosh, I say it a million times, but like, you know, if you're on camera, just try your darndest to be your true self, because the people who like you for who you are those are your people. The people who don't like you for who you are, they're not your people. And you're never going to get everyone to like you. So if you're trying to make yourself look good, inevitably you look bad. And like, we all do it all the time, and it's hard to just be yourself, but try to have the confidence to just be yourself.
And if you have a lot of things that you don't want coming out in public, don't go on a reality
show. Yeah, that too.
Okay.
That too.
Because even Brennan was just like, I didn't know how it was going to be on a reality show, but I didn't think all of my, you know, all the details of my marriage were going to get out. Like, what?
How do you not think that you're going on
film?
Oh,
dude.
And that's what I was going to say is that, you know, these couples got together by trusting experts to pair them. And then they completely like avoided the experts from what it seems like, from what they say. They didn't reach out to the experts. They then started like,
they were worried too much about the end game.
But no, but they were like counting on each other. And it's like each and every single one of you needed an expert to find you your match to get married. Why do you think you would go to the next person who also needed the expert to help you to seek out advice? Like, no, lean in on the expert, lean in on the professional who's there, who wants to help you. Like, and if you think that they're not available enough, reach out to them. I know they give you their numbers. Like, I know that. So reach out more.
They're willing to help.
Yeah, like they're obviously busy because they're professionals. But if you reached out and said, I'm having struggles, I can promise you that they're going to stop everything and say, what can I do to help you? Yeah.
So, but, you know, I still think Married at First Sight is strong. I still love Married at First Sight.
Oh, yeah, same.
I just love being part of the family. This season was a little bit hard to swallow. And I'm hoping next season Chicago is going to bring a little light back.
Chicago, if you're listening, you got some I was going to say big shoes to fill.
They're probably done filming already.
Oh, they probably are. But still, yeah. if they're listening, like we're all of us fans of Married at First Sight, we are pulling for you. We're rooting for you. We're cheering for you. And we're just hoping that, you can just be your real selves.
Take it serious.
Yeah, and take it seriously and trust the experts. I mean, you are trusting them with your marriage. Don't start betraying them after, you know?
Well, I got to go.
Yes, we got to pick up our kids.
Later.
We love you all. And
I'm waving for anybody that's listening to this. I'm waving bye.
Thank you so much for just being along our journey with these twins and hanging with us.
Next week, we'll get to know
if they're fraternal or identical.
Yes.
See you then.
Bye.